Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for today, Anthony Wood, and with me today is none other than ESPN's Nat Coombs from The Nat Coombs Show. Nat, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
It is a pleasure, man. I'm good. I'm right in the middle of NFL London, which is the craziest time of the year for me, because I do, obviously, as you very kindly plugged my ESPN show, but I also work with the BBC for the London Games, so do the live coverage for the Beeb of the London Games. And so we have one last Sunday, we've got one this Sunday, so it is pretty much the apex of busyness.
Absolutely. Yeah. But let's be honest, wouldn't have it any other way at this point in time. It'll be nice to get football back at Wembley.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I you know, there's been a lot of love for Spurs and the stadium, and rightly so. As a West Ham fan, that was always quite painful to admit. But I do, you know, I do understand completely why those two games were exceptionally good in terms of experience. I mean, the customization of the stadium, the acoustics, the fact it's just a brand new stadium, in the same way that I've been lucky enough to do quite a few of the recent Super Bowls. And, you know, you go to Atlanta, you go to Minnesota, these are brilliant stadiums to watch football in for acoustics, if nothing else, but dimensionally, it just works. That I get all that, and it's great, and long may that continue at Spurs. But it's special having football at Wembley, and that's where it all began in terms of the new era in 2007. And I sit there now, and it's one of those things where I've got to remember to pinch myself sometimes. I'm sitting there anchoring a game on the Beeb that we've got football at Wembley. And I think of, you know, I was chatting to Vernon Kay about this the other day, actually, because we've worked together a lot over the years, and we were at the Raiders training a few weeks ago, and we were remembering, I mean, we're this old, but we remember the exhibition games we used to get in the in the early 90s, where you'd see one or two starters in the stands, because there's no way in hell they were playing even a single down of football in an exhibition game in London. You just get the third string. It's like the worst possible preseason games you could imagine, and we were still absolutely made up with this. It was the best thing ever, so we've come a long way since then, I think.
And is it bad that I slightly miss the old Wembley? I must admit, I kind of wish we had NFL at the old Wembley. Do you know what I mean?
No, I'm with you. I know, totally. And those games were, of course, the old Wembley, so yeah, absolutely. I concur wholeheartedly with that. I miss it too.
But yes, obviously, Texans coming in this weekend. It's first time they will have gone to London, so it's big for the Texans fans heading over there. I know the traveling Texans have a huge following going over there this week, so that's going to be fantastic for them. But so far, obviously, Texans head over today. Have you seen many Houston fans around London yet? Have you seen that presence start to grow?
Yeah, spotted a few, and you'll love this. And this isn't at all a political move, because I was coming on your pod. But I've got two kids, two boys, and they are sports crazy and awakening to NFL after being soccer football being their first love. And this is the first game they're going to, so they're going to go to the game with my wife, and obviously I'll do the show and then hook up with them afterwards. And I said, okay, well then we've got to get your jerseys. You're going to a game, we've got to get your jerseys. And I haven't, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, as you well know, and I haven't forced that on them. West Ham was not even a conversation. They were going to be West Ham, but the Dolphins, I couldn't force that on anyone. So I said, guys, you know, you go for it, you pick. And they've gone Texans, and they've gone Deshaun Watson, and heartbreakingly, my youngest got a JJ Watt shirt. But having said that, he's very stoic about it, and he's proud of JJ. He loves JJ Watt, and proud of the fact he's going to be representing. I said, you're going to represent, because JJ will know that he'll want to see all those. It's a bit like the old Hulkamaniacs.
Absolutely.
All the JJ Watt fans in the house blazing his number. So he gets that. He's going to wear it with pride on Sunday. So yeah, looks like the Texans army, they've got two new fans, essentially. They've now adopted the Texans as their team. So
Well, that's fantastic news. And I mean, thankfully, JJ may not be there, but the Texans will be traveling, obviously, with the likes of Deshaun Watson, you mentioned before, and DeAndre Hopkins as well, who's also having another fantastic season. I mean, yeah, how much are you looking forward to seeing these sorts of guys at Wembley, and what are you sort of expecting from them?
Really excited. I mean, both of those players that you mentioned, I absolutely love. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, when I realised I like DeAndre Hopkins, it might have even been his rookie season. I saw either NFL Network or ESPN did a feature on him shopping, and just clothes shopping specifically. And I thought, this man has style. And he was just a brilliant character straight away. I really like this guy. He's just a cool cat. He is unbelievably good, isn't he? I mean, he's unbelievable because he has the flair and playmaking ability of those absolutely game-changing type receivers. But he's so dependable as well. He's almost the perfect receiver in the sense that he's got dexterity to pull off unbelievable. How did he keep his toes in bounds, catching it as he's flying backwards, almost, 180, one-handed. And yet, what was the stat last season about his, the completion rate to him?
115 receptions, zero drops.
Zero drops. I mean, my God. And what a complete performer. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him. And Deshaun Watson, I've liked from the beginning. What I love about the Texans is they are in, certainly this season, they are in a handful of maybe three teams maximum that I could credibly see beating the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs obviously have that ability. I think the Texans are there. Maybe the Colts. Maybe the Ravens. But I think really the two teams that I could see, and losing JJ Watt, I guess, has a big impact on that. But then most teams take a bit of a hit, and by the time you get to the playoffs, injury wise, I can only really see the Texans or the Chiefs toppling the Patriots. I'm just not really buying anyone else in the AFC able to do that.
Well, that's certainly going to come as news to as music to the ears of Texans fans. I mean, we've not exactly had the best of luck up against the Patriots the last few years, but let's hope this is going to be the year. Let's be honest, it will certainly be that'll be one of the highlights of the season, if nothing else. And obviously, with the Texans coming to London, you mentioned they're without JJ Watt. They've got a few injuries here and there, but they've got a couple of players coming back. Looks like Jonathan Joseph will be back this week. Sean Kipson looks like he's probably going to be back as well. How are you feeling about this Texans team in general up against the Jags this weekend? Which matchups are you looking forward to? And how much are you expecting from the likes of, say, Whitney Mercilus now with JJ Watt out the lineup?
Well, yeah, this is it, isn't it? I mean, it's the... It is the pressure on the bigger names to really step up. And look, if you're losing a player like JJ Watt, it's inevitably going to have a big impact. I think it's difficult timing given the fact it's a divisional matchup. The Titans are breathing as well as the Jags. And this is a pivotal game, I think, in the terms of the trajectory of the division. Because I think if the Jags go back 4-5 under 500 with another divisional loss and the Texans have extended the gap, that is hugely significant. I think that will be them realistically done. But Fournette suddenly coming good. I mean, my ESPN column this week was about Minshew, inevitably. But one of the things that came out of that and researching the piece and talking to different Jags writers and fans was the relationship between Fournette and Minshew. So clearly Minshew's got a great connection with DJ Shark. That's the
absolutely
receiver tandem that they've got that, most young quarterbacks in particular find that go-to guy. Often it's a tight end actually, but find that receiver that they particularly connect with. But Fournette as well, I think Minshew has a really good relationship with on a personal level, and it's kind of added a lot to that locker room. And the line is that he's getting sacked a lot, but that's partly the way Minshew's playing. But the line seems to be working quite well in terms of establishing the run. And the loss of JJ Watt is going to be an appealing matchup, I think, for Fournette, right? Quite obviously. So that's going to be quite a critical thing. I think if you stop the run with any team, of course, it limits and the dimensions and puts pressure on it. But I think you're stopping the run against this incarnation of the Jags with limited receiving options, with much as we love him, Minshew's still a young quarterback, I think it's going to be critical to the game. I think if you're stopping the run against the Seahawks, if you're stopping the run against the Packers, much as Minshew is in the same mold as both of those quarterbacks in that he's improvisational and he keeps things alive, you still think they have a puncher's chance. I think if you stop the run against the Jags, I can't see any way they win the game.
And that's the good thing from the Texans' point of view is even without JJ Watt, their run defense has been exceptional this year so far on the whole. I mean, the likes of DJ Reed have really come into their own this year, so that'll be very entertaining. But the way I look at this game is something that really excites me. As you mentioned, DJ Chark there, and rightly so, he's been fantastic this year. Leonard Fournette, another guy who's been fantastic. And then the Texans as well, obviously their offense has been very widespread, getting the likes of Darren Fells involved and Kenny Stills, as well as obviously DeAndre Hopkins and Kiki QT. So the way I see it is this is going to be a very high scoring game, especially without some of the Texans DBs in the game and without Jalen Ramsey now for the Jags. Do you see this as an offensive game overall, really, one that is going to be won or lost by either Minshew or Watson?
Yeah, you make a good point, actually, about the Texans run D. And I haven't got this in front of me, but I was reading, prepping the game. Isn't there a really strong streak where you haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher for
yes.
a crazy amount of time?
So yeah, I can't remember the stat, but yeah, I know exactly what you mean, yes.
So that bodes well, even with the loss of the impact it will have, you know, without what. So to that, following the last 3 or 4 minutes through, I think you hold firm against Fournette. No, I don't think it'll be a particularly high scoring game, because I think you'll put on the points against the Jags. And look, let's not knock the Jags defense in the last couple of weeks since Jalen Ramsey has had, you know, some exceptional playmaking ability there, you know, particularly turnover wise, where you would have thought they'd be severely diminished because of that. If anything, it's had the opposite effect. So, mate, you know, when you've got that, maybe that will kind of open up things a little bit more for them, even if they are struggling on offense. But I hope it's going to be high scoring, and I hope it's going to be close. And again, it sounds like I'm saying this for effect because I'm on your show, man, but I think the Texans should win this quite comfortably.
I certainly hope so. And no, I think I'm with you on that. It's a tough one to call, but I think I'm with you on that. I might be sticking my neck out here by saying the Texans, I think, will win it. But I'm relatively confident going into this game. But obviously, you mentioned Minshew. You mentioned your article about it. I saw that this morning. And this Minshew mania that's just gone crazy around the league. Has that started to hit London yet? Because that's something I was really looking forward to, was especially around Halloween with people dressing up. Are there a load of people dressing up with bandanas and fake moustaches this week?
There definitely will be on Sunday. I mean, it will be packed with that. And I think, put it this way, I got the running order for the live show on Sunday. And I guess, you know, a lot of your listeners are going to be Brits, but a lot in the States as well. So this is the BBC, right? We're doing the live game on BBC Two in prime time. And I've had a look at the running order I was sent earlier. And we've got an interview with Gardner Minshew that one of our reporters will... Actually, I think OC Minora is part of our coverage. And I think OC is actually doing the Gardner Minshew interview, which he'll have recorded the day before. When we come back into Vision in the studio, the studio is at the stadium, back in Vision, we're all going to be wearing Minshew moustaches. So that should probably explain, certainly to your American listeners, the extent of Minshew mania that the BBC, on a primetime live broadcast of the game, is insisting that its host and analysts are wearing Minshew moustaches off the back of it. I might go as far as wearing a bandana as well. I mean, I'm quite prone to a bandana anyway, so I might dust out the old collection and see if I'm allowed to get away with it.
I was going to say, if this week, if any, you know you want to. I mean, the opportunity's there. You've got to take it, surely. And one of your colleagues, Jason Bell, he was on our show not too long ago, so I'm looking forward to seeing him with the moustache on as well, actually. That's going to be quite entertaining. But
yeah, it's a good point. Carlson with a tash on is going to be brilliant.
I don't know how he's going to react to that. I can't imagine if he's going to be sort of like Belichick and just sort of sit there without smiling, or if he's just going to be laughing his head off. I love Mike. I've seen him so much during these last couple of years, but you know him better than I do. I mean, has he got a good sense of humour for that sort of stuff, or what are you expecting there?
Definitely, he really does. He'll look like I've seen. He used to wear a tash in the 80s, and I've seen photos of him. He looks like a state trooper from Arkansas in 1982. That's the look he goes for. So he will definitely recreate vintage with a bit of Magnum, with a bit of Tom Selleck thrown in for good measure. So yeah, it will be good fun. I think if we deadpan it in particular,
certainly
just do the whole next segment without referencing it, that's the way we need to do it.
Also, I remember a couple of years ago I was seeing Mike at an event, and he had a Bill Belichick jumper on as well, and I just thought he does look just that. So I can see him doing that sort of deadpan, no reaction to it at all. Absolutely.
Well, you know, they were college roommates, not roommates, sorry, college contemporaries. So
I didn't know that.
They went to Wesleyan College. I think Belichick was the year above Mike. So one of the great stories working with Mike over the years is we were in, where were we? Well, obviously in Fox, we're in Boston, pre-season, but we'd been in Albany actually covering the Giants. And then we went up to Boston and went to Foxborough to do a day's filming there as well for just a whole load of stuff for the season, right? And it was just a standard preseason game, and Belichick was there, was about to give his presser, and we were standing having coffee with all the Boston media, because it was preseason, it was mainly Boston beat writers. There was no big story, so it wasn't like the national media was there, it was just the guys that cover him every day. And I was having a coffee, and I said to one of them, they said, so what are you trying to get today? And I said, oh, we're going to do some, it's got some player interviews lined up, and we're going to do an interview with Coach Belichick. And he spat his coffee. I was like, oh yeah, yeah. I just, so you understand, Coach Belichick doesn't do solo interviews. He'll come up here in a minute, like really patronizing me. He'll come in here in a minute, and you know, you can ask him a question here in the press conference. Okay, I get it. But he won't, you know, he won't do a. I said, oh, okay, I'm pretty sure we are. And he looked at me like I was crazy. But because Mike had gone to college with him, we'd lined it all up. So before the press conference started, the PR guy for the Patriots came in the room and goes, guys, we're going to start in about 5 minutes. We just got to do a quick thing first. And then guys, and like ushered us over. And we went over to the separate room and interviewed Belichick. And it was just the best feeling ever. walking back into that room, just smiling. I didn't need to say anything. Didn't need words. Just smiling, nodding, filling up my coffee as Belichick went on the podium and gave his standard presser. So, yeah. So Mike, yeah, connected, got friends in high places, so that played out well.
He certainly has. But yeah, so obviously going back to the Texans game, sorry, I've completely lost my place now. Going back to the
Texans... I tend to have that effect on.
Not a problem, no. So going back to the Texans Jags this weekend, which matchups in particular are you looking forward to? And then have you got any advice for any travelling Texans fans in terms of things to do in London to make sure they get the full London NFL experience?
Okay, I'll answer that in order. The line, which I'm sure you probably talk about every single week on your show,
certainly
that's going to be key, right? So can it hold firm against a dangerous Jags front seven? I think is fundamental, as we know. If Watson, like most quarterbacks, isn't under a huge amount of pressure, that's a good thing. But again, it's specifically with a player like Watson, or particularly with a player like Watson, it is curtains, really. If you allow him freedom, then he's just going to destroy you, as you guys well know. So that's going to be key. We've mentioned Fournette against the run D of the Texans, I think will be a big battle. And also how you contain Hopkins. What's the status of Will Fuller, who is a player I really like? Is he going to be out, or is he going to play?
He was a non-participant of training this week. I can't see him back until quite a while after the bye week at this point in time.
What is it? Has he done his hammy? Is that why he's out?
I believe so, yes, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But yeah, so it'll be primarily Hopkins and Kenny Stills with a bit of QT thrown in there, but it'll probably DeAndre Carter as well.
I love Stills too. I mean, you know, as a Miami fan, I always like Stills, and again, just another really dependable player, you know. So look, I think those are the two main battles, right? You give Watson time, and there's a lack of pressure, he's gonna burn you. And if the Jags can't get Fournette going, I just think it's gonna be too much for the passing offense, even, you know, with Minshew's playmaking ability and particularly scrambling as well as just ducking out of the pocket, ducking out of pressure in the pocket. So yeah, those are two for me. In terms of places to go, well, a good tip actually for Texans fans heading over is Saturday, big college day, of course, and there is a great restaurant. There are a few of them actually. There are a group of two or three in London called Bodine's. There's one in Soho, and it's on Poland Street in Soho. It's pretty kind of central Soho. And there's also one in Tower Bridge as well, which might actually be better on the Saturday, maybe less busy for in terms of getting a table. And that's also fairly central and a good thing to go and check out, because you can see the Tower of London as well and do a bit of the tourist thing. Bodine's is great. It's a great steakhouse, great ribs, smokehouse, I should say. And it has all the college games on. So
excellent.
It is a great bar for college football. And it will be on, because ESPN UK, I'm a company man, ESPN has the rights to all the college football over here, of course. So it is just... there's college game day, and then it'll profile the and show the big game. So that is a good steer, I think. Love Bodine's. So if you don't want to miss your college football, that's where you should head.
Absolutely, that sounds fantastic. And
it has Lone Star beer as well. So I'm guessing a lot of your a lot of your listeners.
Certainly.
A bit of beer from home. So
I was going to say, my wife's family absolutely swears by Lone Star beer. I haven't had it myself, but I assume it's fantastic there.
I love Lone Star. Love it.
Yeah. But little side note there. We mentioned Kenny Stills before. He was the first player I interviewed back, I think it was 2016, 2017, when he came over to London, and I completely ruined the interview. I was so nervous. It was the first one I'd done. It was appalling, but really nice guy and a great receiver, thankfully. So,
oh, man, we've all been there. Don't worry about that. So, yeah.
But, yeah, so finally, I like to throw my guests off a little bit with the closing question where I can. Now, it being Halloween today, it's obviously everyone's going to be dressing up, and we mentioned that obviously you're going to be dressing up somewhat this weekend, and I remember another little side note, I remember earlier on seeing a video of Randy Moss convincing Bill Belichick to dress up one Halloween. Fantastic video, I recommend everyone's
amazing.
He dressed up as a pirate. It's brilliant. Everyone should go back and watch it. But yeah, so which, if you're looking at obviously two head coaches this weekend, Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien, which characters would you like to see them both dress up as for Halloween?
Wow, that's a great question. Okay, I would like to see Doug Marrone dress as Bill O'Brien, and by that's what I'd like to see. I would like to see, okay, Marrone, I think, has to go quite, I think, a soprano. Probably I would go, yeah, I'd just go Tony. Let's go Tony Soprano for Marrone.
I can see that, absolutely.
Or maybe, no, Paulie Walnuts. Okay, Paulie Walnuts. Marrone, I think, would be good. And then Bill O'Brien. Well, I think Bill O'Brien, because of the Belichick connection, has to go as Belichick. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well.
Love it.
Let's be honest. He's trying to build sort of a Patriots 2.0 down in Houston, so it's only fitting.
Exactly right. Exactly right. He could go as, I was about to say, Bob Kraft and get us both into a lot of trouble. So I will move on.
Yeah. Best to shy away from that, I guess. Yeah. Nat, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on to our show. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
So I'm on Twitter mainly. That's my main platform, at Nat Coombs. Sorry, you probably hear the fireworks. Gunshots. They are fireworks going off in the background. It is Halloween, and London is Halloween night in London. So sorry, the window's open. So
no problem.
Background noise there. At Nat Coombs, Twitter. I'm on Instagram as well, and I do use it a bit, but Twitter's my main platform. And as you say, the Nat Coombs Show, which is my ESPN podcast, it drops four episodes a week. You can get it on iTunes, Spotify, Castbox, all the podcatchers. We have great guests on there, a real mix of regulars, a lot of Brits, a lot of Americans, a lot of the ESPN crew as well. Matthew Berry, I was on Matthew's show the other day. He's coming on mine soon. Comedians, real cross section, so we have a lot of fun with it. Also deep dive and do some analysis as well. We kind of mix it up, so get involved with that, the Nat Coombs Show.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you today, and enjoy London, of course, this weekend.
My pleasure. And all the Texas fans heading over, enjoy London, enjoy Wembley. It'll be a really special experience. And man, congrats to the pod. Keep it rolling.
Thanks very much. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. And of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening.